When I was growing up, I used to love to watch the TV show MASH. Those of you who don't know what that is, that was a TV show about a group of army doctors during the Korean War. It was a sitcom, and when it first started out, it was a typical sitcom played for laughs, but the show went on for 11 seasons, and the longer it went on, the more creative they got with the episodes, the more they tried to explore the space they were in. And one of my favorite episodes of the show occurred in the later seasons. It was one episode where in the course of that 30 minutes, they followed the group through a calendar year. They started at a New Year's Eve celebration, and they went all the way through the year, through the spring and summer and fall and winter, everything that occurred, and they showed these threads that went through the whole year. And when it got to the end, they were back at that New Year's Eve celebration again, and they were in the same place they had been when the year started. They hadn't gotten home. The war wasn't over. And once again, they got to New Year's Eve, and they made that prayer, "Lord, may we be home before this year is out." It was a poignant episode to explore, where did we go in this year? What happened? What did we do? It's been a whole year. Where are we now? Something about this time of year is we stand at the end of the calendar with no more pages to tear off. It makes me think of that episode. Makes me want to try and quantify, if I can, what kind of a year has it been? This is common at this time of year. We all see the articles and the TV shows that try to encapsulate what 2018 was, the top 10 news stories of the year, or the 100 top songs, or the year's 10 best movies, or the year's 10 worst movies. If you're looking at a list of the year's 10 best movies, it's a good chance that Betty Boone has seen most of them. And if you're looking at a list of the 10 worst movies, it's a solid bet that I've seen a few of those. So the top 10 memes of the year, the top 10 trends of 2018. We look back and we try to see where we've come. What have we accomplished? What was good about this year and what was not? As we stand at the edge of tomorrow, looking out on a vast, untapped, unspoiled new year, we wonder about where we will go, what we will do, and where we have been is often a good indicator of that. But it isn't an easy thing to do, to look back over an entire year. When I used to work in human resources, I would have to sit down with employees and do their yearly reviews. And oftentimes their raises or their bonuses would be based on that yearly review. And the goals we'd set for the next year were based on that yearly review. And when I first started doing them, what I discovered was that oftentimes we tended to focus on the last few weeks, the last couple months. It's hard to sit down and look back over an entire year. What were we doing 12 months ago? I have $100 in my pocket. I'll give it to anybody in the room who can tell me what I preached about on January 7th. Yeah, I think that $100 is safe. I tell you what, I gave you 20 bucks and tell me what I preached about last week. Be honest with you. It isn't easy to try and think back over that 12 months. What's occurred on our journey since January? What have we seen? What have we felt? What have we experienced? For our last newsletter, our outgoing board chair, Alan Watts, asked me to help him compile a list of our accomplishments for this year. He wanted to thank everyone for their hard work, for their support and their help, and wanted to be able to put out in front of everybody, look at what we did this year. Luckily, with technology, I can sit down at my Google Calendar and I can go back to January, and week by week, I can go through and I can see what was happening and what we were doing. And we put that list together and he put it in the last newsletter. And I hope you looked at it. I hope you got a chance to read it. It turns out we did a lot together in 2018. We gathered for group conversations and studies on world religions and spiritual growth. We baptized 3 young people and joined them on their journey of faith. We gathered each month for game nights and fellowship and fun, inviting friends and family. We supported our children through our children's worship and wonder with funds, and we trained new teachers so the kids could go learn about God and Jesus as well. When our scholarship fund for camp ran low, you raised $3,000, and then you turned around and sent 12 kids to church camp this summer. We welcome the regional ministry into this space to do their ministry and mission. We welcome the bus company back for their safety meetings. We sheltered kids from the Johnson County summer camp program on inclement weather days. We hosted Eagle Scout ceremonies and recitals and blood drives. We made ourselves a part of our community by welcoming these groups in, opening our doors. We partnered with our local elementary school to help families and children right here in Merriam through food and support. We fed hungry people at the Johnson County Food Ministry and delivered baskets of food at Thanksgiving and bags of presents at Christmas. As we compiled this list, it was inspiring. It was heartwarming. It was encouraging. I know the worries some of you have. They're the same worries that gnaw at me as well. We look around and we say, another year in the books. This year, in 2019, in just a couple months, this church will be 106 years old. We glance around the room and we see a lot of white hair. We know we're not getting any younger. We see the ample seats available in the sanctuary. We see the shortcomings in the budget, and we worry. We see the pillars of faith that have supported this faith community for decades, struggling with health, physical and mental decline, and we worry. What kind of a year will it be? We're older than we were. We're smaller than we were. What kind of a year will it be? What will we still be able to do? How will we still be able to serve? This all swirls around in our heads, and we worry. Some of it's our way of thinking. We think that in order to change the world, we need to be young and strong and wealthy. We think we need 500 members and overflowing coffers to spread the good news effectively. We think we need to be perfect if we're going to change the world for Jesus Christ. And while those factors might make it easier, might make it faster, it simply isn't true. We don't need any of those things to change the world. We don't need 1,000 members. We don't need 500 members. We don't need 200 members. We need one. We need one person to change the world. One person who knows that the grace of Jesus Christ saved them and set them free. One person who's been forgiven and knows how life-changing that moment is. One person who has found the bread of life when they were starving and has been filled by it. We don't need 1,000 people. We need one. One person who believes God's grace is sufficient for all shortcomings. One person who believes God's love is for every person. One person who believes that God's kingdom is coming. That's all. Just one person. Not 500. Not 100. Not an influx of new people and new resources. Those things are nice, don't get me wrong. We won't turn those things away. But we don't need all that. As we stand at the precipice of a new year, a blank page of possibility and opportunity, 12 months where we have the chance to touch lives with hope and peace and joy and love, we don't need 1,000 people, we need one. You. You're the one. We need you. Because you are here. Because you have been saved and set free, filled with grace, loved by God, forgiven. You are not perfect, but we don't need that either. Too often we think if we're going to change the world, we're going to have to do all the heavy lifting. That the only way I can change the world is by my grace, by my sacrifice, by my work. But I'll be the first to tell you, I'm a flawed, mistake-riddled, sin-filled person. I'm as imperfect as they come. Paul lamented, Christ came for the sinners of whom I am the worst. If I have to change the world with my grace, we're in trouble. If I have to try to change the world with just my love, we're in trouble. I don't have enough. I don't have enough for just me. I surely don't have enough for the world. But that's okay. We aren't going to try and change the world with my grace or with your grace. We're going to try to change the world with God's grace. We're going to try to change the world with God's hope. We're going to try to change the world with God's love. No, I don't have enough, but God does. More than enough. And the reason I know that is he had more than enough for me. We're going to change the world with God's grace. How do I know that? Look at what kind of a year it has been. Look at how many lives you touched this year. Look at how many lives you changed this year because you were loving. Graceful. Look back at this year that has been, at how many times someone we didn't know was touched by the generosity and graciousness that flowed out of this place in so many ways, that flowed out of you in so many ways. Meals that were served, presents that were given, help that was offered. We were small and strapped in 2018 and we touched hundreds of lives. What could we do in 2019? So let's say you're on board. Let's say you agree that we only need one person to change the world, and that one person is you. So now what? As we stride into this new year, we're going to need a plan of attack. We're going to need a strategy. We're going to need a blueprint to follow. So how about this? We're going to go out in 2019 and we're going to change the world. It doesn't matter how small we are. It doesn't matter how strapped we are. It doesn't matter how difficult things are. We're going to go out and change the world, you and I. We're going to do it by clothing ourselves in compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. We're going to bear with one another. We're going to forgive each other because from time to time, I'm going to screw up. And I'm going to need you to forgive me. And from time to time, you're going to screw up. And you're going to need me to forgive you. You're going to clothe yourselves with love and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You're going to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with gratitude. We're going to sing songs and hymns to God. Whatever we do over the next 12 months, over the next 365 days, whatever we do in 2019 in word or deed, we're going to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's try that for just 12 months. And then we'll see what kind of a year it's been.